We're doing a little bit of the Ramban speech, Torah Hashem Tmima. The Ramban had said that with the flood came also a recognition that Hashem creates the world. They knew it from the time of Adam HaRishon. Then it was like a new beginning with the flood. And for a few generations, so long as people were still connected to this knowledge, to this awareness that there was a flood, they were also aware of the fact that Hashem created the world. ועוד שפרסם כל האומות ויחסיהן ובענייני המדינות, and people also knew the genealogy, the evolvement of the different nations, the different countries, nationalities, what's described in Parashas Noach, how after the flood, Shem, Ham, and Yefet evolved into the different nations, says the Ramban, that was pretty well known for a few generations. So you had a period going from Noach downward, pretty close to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, where the world didn't deny creation by Hashem. They no one could invent, no one could argue, no one could deny what everyone knew. Klalo shel davar kol sipur sefer Bereshit. The stories of Genesis, the stories of Bereshis, were pretty well known in the world. V'chen b'resh rav Rabbi Moshe, this is what Maimonides explains in his book Mora Nevuchim, ki kavanat ha-sipurim shebatorah v'yichusem nechtavu l'odei amitat ha-chidush ledorot. The importance of the stories in the beginning of Bereshis and Genesis was so that generations would know the truth of creation. The idea that Hashem created a world and brought a flood, this idea was important so that later generations would know it, and that's why the Torah mapped out the evolvement of the family tree of the world. Ukmo shani atid lazkir lefaneinu, as I will elaborate later on, says the Ramban. Vida, and I want you to know, kinyan Avram Avinu. So we discussed the stories from creation till Avram. Now Avram Avinu, v'emunato ma'alato nitpasem od v'nodam ba'alom. Avram was very famous. Rambam writes that in his day, the Egyptian history books spoke about Avram. He says they had manuscripts talking about Avram in Egypt. So Avram was a well-known figure in the Middle East. He was more famous than kings. You find that Avimelech comes to make a treaty with Avram and with Yitzchak. Kings don't just go making treaties with people unless they're really important. You see that he not only makes a treaty with him, Avimelech travels all the way from Gerar to Avram's house to make the treaty, and he stays there and eats at Avram's home. And we see that he tells him, Ki atzamta mimenu meod, you've become more powerful than us. You see where Avram was holding. He says us, he includes himself. And our sages also taught that people looked at Avram and Yitzchak and they said, Zevel pirdotav shel Yitzchak v'lo kaspov zavo shel Avimelech. We'd rather have the manure of Yitzchak's mules than the silver and gold from Avimelech. So Ramban says we see the power of Avram and Yitzchak. We see their wealth, we see their blessing, we see their fame. Avram Amur, and about Avram, we find that when Avram wanted to go to war, he had a standing army. He has 318 knights available at a moment's notice. He has 318 knights ready to go to war with him. Ben Bevet HaMelech, again, Ramban says, kings don't have a standing army of 318 knights, top soldiers ready to go and fight with them at a moment's notice. You see how great Avram was, how wealthy he was? So this is where we'll pause for today with Ramban's description of Avram's fame and wealth. We're working our way from creation to the giving of the Torah. So Ramban had taught us today that the genealogy was important and it was pretty much accepted in the world at that time that there was a moment of creation and Adam and Eve and everyone was their descendants. And then Avram Avinu's importance, both as a famous and wealthy person, Avram Avinu's strength as a monotheist is something we're going to talk about. But at this point, Ramban says it was very well known, it was very famous, the wealth, the power, the fame of Avram and Yitzchak, Avram Avinu's family.